But Psalm 39, 4 through 7, because I won't be able to cover everything that we did last Sunday. And these are going to go together, so I'm really excited about it. But Psalm 39, and starting in verse 4. The psalmist says, "Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand, and my entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. We're merely moving shadows, and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. We heap up wealth, not knowing who will spend it. And so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in you."
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray over the word this morning. Father, I thank you that as we worship over your word, God, we continue in worship today over your word. I thank you that as we open it, that you will open our eyes to the wonders of it. And God, I thank you that the life that we find there will infect us with life for you. I thank you that you teach us and train us up, God, but you also encourage us and build us up in our faith. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So here is where we were last week in Psalm 39. And we were talking about how this time of year, New Year's, the end of one year, the beginning of another, is special. It's a special time. And it gives us the ability and the opportunity to step back from the details of our life and look at the big picture, right? To see a little bit better. And while this time of year can be special, it can be special without being beneficial, helpful, or healthy. So our goal is not that it just be special, but that we benefit from it. And what we're asking for is what the psalmist was asking for, which is a clearer perspective. Lord, remind me how temporary and short my life actually is, that it's actually not any, bigger than a hand's breadth of measurement, that it's a very small quantity of time that I have here on this earth, and help me take better measurement of that so that I can look at the things that I might be tempted to put my trust in, that I might be tempted to put my hope in, and say, no, I'm going to put my hope and my trust in the Lord. And why would we want that perspective? Why would he ask for that perspective? It's so that it can impact the way that we think, the way that we speak, and the way that we live, right? Then why else would we want that except to change those areas? And we talked about it in likeness to driving a car that the gas gauge doesn't work, right? If you're driving a car and the gas gauge doesn't work, what's most likely going to happen? You're going to run out of gas. And you're going to run out of gas before you get to where you're going because you didn't know how much you had left. And so it gives us a clearer perspective on our life. And our encouragement last week was take a step back, get a better look at, okay, where am I? Where am I in my life? Where am I in my relationship with the Lord? Where am I going? What am I doing? These big questions, right? And it's asking God to give us eyes to see clearly. We also compared it to the guy who painted the mural downtown and how he would get in there and he'd paint and he'd get the fine details and then he'd have to step way back to look at the big picture, to look at the whole, so that when he went back in, what he did was good and right and fit with what the overall vision was. And that's what we want for our life, and that's what we want for this time of year. And that can be weighty on us. To have those type of big, overarching thoughts can be heavy, and it can be weighty, and it can be overwhelming. But remember the last verse there that we read, he's starting to sound like he has no hope. Lord, with all of this being true about me, the fact that I can build up wealth not knowing who will spend it, and I'm rushing around and it'll all come to nothing, what then should I put my hope in? And he said, I put my hope in the Lord. And I don't know about you, but if you were having some of these, in inner thoughts this week and thinking on some of these things, you had to press in to him. I found myself a little bit overwhelmed with the new year, the fullness of it, just everything that's going to be going on, everything that's going to have to be done and planned and thought through. And it just starts to be a lot. And I had to just slow down and stop and spend time with Him and say, God, You're already there. You're already there. I had to press in because, again, it can be weighty, but it's always good, regardless of what's happening, if something pushes us to Him, because then we're with Him. Amen? So with all that in mind, where we talked about Psalm 39 last week, I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel. I want you to turn to the book of 1 Samuel, which is back a little bit to the left from Psalm in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 7, and I'm going to try to bring you up to speed really quick to where we are in the story of the Bible at this point in the book of 1 Samuel. You know, we've learned about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God called Abraham out from his family so that he could begin a family of his own for his very own possession. Out of nothing created a group of people, and he had a son named Isaac, who had a son named Jacob, who had many sons, right? And then Jacob and his family ended up in Egypt during the famine. Y'all remember that story? They're in Egypt during the famine, and many years passed, and they were blessed there, but then as time went by, they were enslaved in the nation of Egypt. And then God raised up a man named Moses, who we've heard of, right, who led them out by the power of the Lord, a magnificent story of God's might and power, led them out in what we call the Exodus. It's in the book of Exodus in your Bible, and led them out towards the promised land. And Joshua, right, that book's in there too, he took over. He led them on in to the promised land, defeated the enemies that were there, and God's people were in the land. God had created a nation for Himself, and they were still trying to figure out, God knew how it should be, and they were trying to figure out, how does this work? And they were not doing the best job of it. And you can read about that in the book of Judges. God would give them leaders to say, no, you can't live like this. You can't act like this. This is not God's way for you. And trying to bring the nation into right relationship with God. And at the end of the book of Judges, there's a line that I always remember. It says, in those days, Israel had no king, and all the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. So in those days, Israel had no king, and they didn't honor God like they should. And it said the people did what was right in their own eyes. And it's in that time frame that Samuel, where the book of 1 Samuel starts, and Samuel comes on the scene, because there was a woman named Hannah who had no children, and she was sorrowful about that. And so she prayed to God in sorrow and anguish, but also in faith. God, give me a son, and if You will, then I will commit his life to You. I'll give him right back to You. And God did that for her. He opened her womb, and she conceived, gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, and his name meant, I asked the Lord for him. And she said, he'll belong to the Lord his whole life, and she committed him to the Lord, and he grew up. And as he grew up, the Lord was with him, the Bible says, and everything he said proved to be reliable. And he was a prophet of God, and he was a judge of Israel. And we talked about the prophet Isaiah during Advent, remember? And we quoted Hebrews 1, and where it says, long ago, God spoke many times in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And of course, and is in these final days has spoken to us through his son. And so you have Samuel, prophet and judge for the nation of Israel. And they needed to hear from the Lord because they were living foolishly and they were living like pagans, those who had no true God, but were chasing after the false gods of those who were around them. And what we find in 1 Samuel is the story of a major battle, because they were at war with the Philistines. And because they weren't serving God and honoring God, they were defeated and many people died. Many lives were lost. Their priest died. His sons died. And the Ark of the Covenant was stolen by the Philistines. And that's a whole other story that's really amazing to see the way that God works. But the Ark of the Covenant symbolized God's presence with his people. God dwelling with his people, just like he did in the garden, he did through the Old Testament, and now dwells with us by dwelling in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. But the Ark of the Covenant, what symbolized God's presence among them, was stolen away. And again, that's its own story, and we may talk about that one day. It's awesome. But what you had happen is God, since the Ark of the Covenant was stolen, he defeated the Philistines all by himself. Just defeated them. The people didn't have to fight. The Ark of the Covenant was returned to the nation of Israel. And then we end up in 1 Samuel 7. You see, I went through all of those books in that little bit of time. This rest isn't going to go as fast. Just hang on. But in chapter 7 and verse 3 and 4, I want you to see this. Chapter 7 and verse 3 and 4, it says, "Then Samuel, after the ark has come back," it's 20 years later, and the people still aren't living rightly before God. "Then Samuel said to all the people of Israel, 'If you want to return to the Lord with all your hearts, get rid of your foreign gods and your images of Ashtoreth. Turn your hearts to the Lord and obey him alone. Then he will rescue you from the Philistines.' So the Israelites got rid of their images of Baal and Ashtaroth," these false gods, these gods of the pagans that had lived in the land. "They got rid of their images of those false gods and they worshiped only the Lord." And then you have Samuel leading them in prayer, and they were fasting, they were repenting, they were changing the way that they thought about how they had been living. They were asking God to forgive them for how they had sinned against him. And all this is going on. And then the Philistines, their enemies, hear that they were assembled together there at Mizpah. They were assembled there, and they advance on them, preparing to attack. And the whole nation of Israel was frightened. And they cried out to Samuel, "Plead with the Lord our God to save us." And then we get to verse 9. It says, "So Samuel took a young lamb and offered it to the Lord as a whole burnt offering. He pleaded with the Lord to help Israel, and the Lord answered him." And just as Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines arrived to attack Israel. But the Lord spoke with a mighty voice of thunder from heaven that day. And the Philistines were thrown into such confusion that the Israelites defeated them. The men of Israel chased them from Mizpah to a place below Beth-kar, slaughtering them all the way. So he was making an offering to God for the people's sins. And then God intervened divinely, supernaturally, and they won the victory over their enemies. And I tell you all of that so we can get to this verse. Verse 12. Verse 12, it says, "Samuel then took a large stone and placed it between the towns of Mizpah and Shane. And he named it Ebenezer, which means the stone of help. For he said, 'Up to this point, the Lord has helped us.'" Up to this point, the Lord has helped us. Or the word I want you to remember today is from the King James Version, because I think it'll stick in our heads a little bit better. He said, "Hitherto, the Lord has helped us." Yeah. "Hitherto, the Lord has helped us." It means up to this point. And I want this verse and this thought to team up with Psalm 39 as we begin this new year from last week and this week together to encourage us. Because what Samuel was saying is a battle was won. The Lord their God was faithful to hear the cries of his people. They placed their hope in the Lord, and he defended them, he protected them, and they won the victory. And so immediately what he did is he took a stone to memorialize it, a monument to put down so that it would always be remembered that this was a special thing that happened in a special place. And he called it an Ebenezer stone, or an Eben Ha-Ezer in the Hebrew. I made myself learn that. Ebenezer sounds better. stone, which it means stone of help, and said, hitherto, up to this point, hitherto, the Lord has helped us. And so how does that connect to where we were last week? What I want you to remember is when we feel the weight of thoughts like Psalm 39, God, show me how brief my life is. Show me how important each day is. And that heaviness starts to come on us and we start to get weighed down by it. When we ask for that perspective, we ask for it because we know it'll have impact, right? We know it can change the way that we think, but it's still heavy. So if you are overwhelmed by thoughts like that, you're overwhelmed by the new year, you're overwhelmed by the season of life that you find yourself in, the situation that you're dealing with, the stuff going on around you, if you're overwhelmed by those, you can take courage in 1 Samuel 7 and verse 12, where he said, hitherto the Lord has helped us. So when you start to be overwhelmed, you can say, wait. I wouldn't have made it to right here if the Lord hadn't helped me. Amen. I wouldn't have gotten to this point, to today, if he hadn't helped me. Amen. Hitherto, the Lord has helped me. I mean, I can look back and say, I wouldn't have made it through that. I wouldn't have made it through that. I wouldn't have made it past that. I wouldn't have made it to right here if he hadn't helped me. And that lifts some of the weight off me because it reminds myself I didn't get to right here. He got me here. Hitherto, the Lord has helped me. Up to this point, he has helped me. See, it looks back on God, and it is grace and his mercy that has brought us to right here, to today, to this moment, to where you're sitting right now, regardless of what's going on. Right now, he brought you to here. Hitherto, the Lord has helped us. And he's the only one that could have got you to right here. He's the only one that could bring you to right here. He's the only one that could overcome all those mistakes. He's the only one that could overcome your pride. He's the only one that could get past your fears and the difficulties of life to bring you right here. He's the only one that could keep your heart beating to right now. Breaths in and out to right now. Hitherto, the Lord has helped us. He's the only one that could have. He's the only hope that we have. So what we can do at the beginning of this year, just like Samuel set the stone, we can set this as a moment and look back and go, nope, I wouldn't have even made it to right here if it wasn't for him. Hitherto, the Lord has helped us. See, that word looks back at all that God has done, that only he could do. It remembers where he brought me from and what he's brought me up unto. Yes. That he has continued to be my help. There's praise that comes up from that. God, I thank you that you brought me to here. I know without you, I wouldn't have made it here. I may have got here just barely. Seemed like I almost didn't make it. It might have been tough and it might have been not pretty. But you got me to right here. And that gives me confidence for tomorrow. Because I know that he's faithful. It's just like the verse in the old hymn, Amazing Grace. It's one of my favorites. His grace has brought me safe this far. And grace will lead me home. Hitherto, the Lord has helped me, and the same help, the same helper is with me today, and he's going into tomorrow with me. Because that 7:12, hitherto, the Lord has helped us, that doesn't just look backward, but it also looks forward. He has helped me to hear. He will help me from here. Because they didn't stop in verse 12. They didn't say, we live at the Ebenezer stone now. This is where God led us to. This is it. We'll all die here. Right? No. They kept moving forward. Kept moving forward. The people of God in the plan of God with the help of God or through the help of God, moving forward. So as we're taking this time at the first part of the year to measure our life, where are we? What's going on? What am I doing? Right? To take account of our life. We're able to consider it and contemplate all these things, all these big questions, all these heavy questions, without getting overwhelmed, without getting afraid, without feeling insufficient, because hitherto the Lord has helped me. I wouldn't have got here without Him. And so that allows me to consider these big questions without being crushed by them. Right? To step back and look at the big picture without being overwhelmed, without being afraid, without being intimidated by it. I can ask questions like, where am I in my relationship with God? Where is it? Where is it going? What's the direction? What's the goal here? Where am I trying to get? And I don't have to be overwhelmed by it, but I can see it with clear eyes. I can ask, where is my relationship with others? How am I handling those? How am I loving others well? Where is it? Where is it going? What about the things that I'm doing, the things that I'm spending my time on, my attention on, my energy, my affection on? Are those good for me? And are they pressing me towards the direction I believe I should be going, or are we going somewhere else? And we can put everything on the table. We can put a lot of stuff on the table and go, is this good? Is this right? Is this for me? If it's not, I can move it off. And if something's not there that should be, I can put it on the table. Is this moving me in the right direction when I'm asking these big questions about the direction of my life, the location that I am right now? Is what I'm doing pushing me forward, or is it holding me back? And I can ask those questions. Now, obviously, you can't put everything on the table. Can't put your spouse on the table. Can't put your kids on the table. Right? I don't know. Are these kids good for me or not? Right? Because sometimes you'd say no. Right? So the stuff that you know is a given that's going into next year too, Lord willing, the stuff that's a given, then you can ask, how am I loving my spouse? How am I leading my children? What's the end goal here? What am I bringing to my marriage to cause it to grow and flourish and be prosperous? Right? Big questions. And I don't have to be overwhelmed by those, but I can, with open eyes, just look and say, what are my priorities this year? What are my priorities? What's my plan to grow closer to God, to grow my relationship with Him this year? What's my plan to engage Him in the Scripture? What's my plan to engage Him in prayer? Because if you're a Christian and you don't have a plan to engage Him in the Scripture this year, you should have one. Amen. You should have one. If you don't have a plan to pray, you should have one. And not because there are these things that we need to do so that God won't get mad at us, but it's because what I need more than anything in my life is for Him to impress on my mind, my will, and my emotions who He is and what's good and right for my life. I need that time with Him. Well, how often do I need to read my Bible? How often do you need to hear God speak to your life? Every day. Every day. And we have to plan it. Otherwise, we miss it. We miss it. We need it so much. We have to set aside that time for Him to impress on us, to teach us, to shape us, to mold us. Amen. It's such a grace that He's given us these things. And as we talk about all of this, I know that some of you are feeling overwhelmed, right? Because it can feel overwhelming. Or maybe we're feeling a little bit of shame. Yeah, I didn't really do that very well last year. I didn't really do that very well. I didn't really live that very well. We feel those pangs of shame. It's a little overwhelming. We get some anxiety that comes in there. And what I want to tell you in that is don't. Don't. Because here's some good news. Here's some good news. Are you ready? Good news. You will not be able to go from where you are to perfect this year. You will not, I'm sure of it, be able to go from where you are in any area of your life to perfect this year. So when this year ends, and we get to December 31, 2020, regardless of what you do, if you're still here on January 1, 2021, you still won't be perfect. Deep breath. You're not going to be perfect at the end of this year. You don't have to be. You don't have to be. You're not going to be perfect in your relationship with Him. You're not going to be perfect in your relationship with the Scripture, prayer. You're definitely not going to be perfect in your relationship and your interaction with others and your attitude and your actions. You're not going to be perfect at the end of the year. So there's relief from that, right? You don't have to get perfect in 2020. You don't have to. That's not what the Lord is calling us to. We don't have to get to perfect. The question is, what's the next step? For you, what's the next step that way? What's the next step towards Him? What's the next step in your life to grow your relationship with God? What's the next step in your life to grow your relationship with others? What's the next step? And this is why we measure. This is why we step back and consider, where am I and where am I supposed to be going? And if that's something you don't know, so I know where I am. I still don't know exactly where I'm supposed to be going. Just keep coming. Just keep coming. Don't run off. Just keep coming. Because it's going to become more clear to you as you spend time with Him and you spend time with the body of Christ. But then when you are able to see it, when you are able to see that destination, whether it's at the end of a year, at the end of your life, where you're going, your direction, then you can say, okay, what's the next step? What's the next step to go that direction? Because hitherto, He's helped me. And He'll be with me in the next step. He'll be with me in the next step. And then I get to the next step and I say, okay, hitherto, He's helped me. What's the next step? What's the next step? What are you moving towards? Because regardless of how much you think on it, how much you plan on it, what all you do, you are moving a direction this year. You are moving in a direction this year. You're taking steps. So the question is, what are you stepping towards? Which direction are you moving? Where are you going? What are you moving towards this year? What are you stepping towards? And we've talked about it before. When we're talking about stuff like this and big picture stuff and trying to get down in the details after that, we can fall into either side of the road. We can fall in the ditch and say, well, I'm going to just try to control everything this year. That's a lie, right? We can't control everything. We know that. But then the other lie is, I can control nothing. It just is what it is. I have no control at all. And neither one are true. The fact is, we're right in the middle. You can't control everything, but you can put your hands to some things. Even if for you, for a month or two or for the whole year, it's just one thing. And that's the most you can hold and that's the most you can handle is one thing. We're taking steps in that one thing. We're taking steps in the right direction in that one thing because regardless of what we do, we're stepping somewhere this year. Amen. We can consider our ways and we can see some things pretty clearly. If we look at it, we know. If we spend time on it, we know. If we put it on the scales of our life and go, is this good for me or not? Not can I do it? Not am I free to do this? But is this good for me or not? Because there's some things that you are perfectly free to do that are harming you right now. Right? And that's going to be different. That's going to be different. And that's why you've got to go to the Lord for you and say, God, help me measure and weigh these things in my life. If it's stirring up my affection for you, I want to press into that more. But if it's stealing my affection for you, if it's drawing me away from you, if it's causing me to drift in my mind, in my actions, in my attitude, God, show me how to move this out of the way. Show me how to move this out of the way, because I have to think that if we all answered honestly, we want to be closer to God in 2020. We want to be closer to Him. We want to know Him more, regardless of what you've experienced up to today. What I know is that you want to be closer to Him in 2020. And be encouraged by the fact that He's not asking you for perfection. He knows that you're not there yet. We don't have to be perfect at the end of this month. We don't have to be perfect at the end of this year. What we want to do is be taking steps. We want to take the next step. Amen. Walking together. with the grace that he's provided. Because again, hitherto he's helped me. He got me to right here. God, what's the next step? Because I know you'll help me in it. And we'll walk together, encouraging each other, building one another up, helping one another as we take those next steps. So we measure in Psalm 39, Lord, teach me to see how brief my life really is. How little time I actually have here, which means how important each day really is for me. And we don't get overwhelmed by that because he's helped me up to right here. Hitherto, the Lord has helped me, and he'll help me as I take the next step. And you don't have, I don't know what the next step is. Start by coming on Wednesday night. We're going to have a time of prayer from 6:30 to 7:30. We're just going to seek the Lord and spend time in his presence. And those things will begin to be made more clear. We don't have to be perfect by the end of the year. We can't be. We won't be. Like I said, if we're still here, we will not be perfect by the end of this year. But what we want is to be closer to him. So what's the next step in that happening? What we want to do is love people well. What's the next step in that happening? Amen. Amen. Andrew, if you'll get ready to come, I want to encourage you one last thing before we get ready to sing together and dismiss. Again, we don't have to do this alone. What Samuel said is, hitherto the Lord, so number one, he's involved. And number two, he said, has helped us. Hitherto the Lord has helped us, and we don't have to do it all at once, just the next step. Just the next step. And I want to encourage you in this because I know that regardless of where this finds you, we are like the Israelites in the book of 1 Samuel. When they were at Mizpah, they were in mourning because they felt like God had abandoned them. Right? And so if you're at the beginning of your walk with him, or you're not even there yet, or you've walked with him for years, you've had times where you felt far from God. You had times where it felt like he was being quiet, right? And they came to the Lord, and it said they were mourning because they knew, I need him in my life. I need him to be Lord of my life. And they wanted to return to him. And Samuel told him, said, get rid of all this stuff that's keeping you from him. Get rid of all this stuff that's leading you into sin and not towards God. And they were glad to do that. They said, we'll take all of it. Take all of it. I'll lay it down. All the false gods. And I'll worship the Lord God alone. They went without food in their prayers. They were repenting. God, forgive us of our sin. Their broken hearts were being drawn to the Father God. It's a beautiful thing. And then something happened. Then something happened. The enemy heard that they were all assembled together and rose up to destroy them. So what I'm telling you is, as you do this, as you lay things down, regardless of what you're laying down, we're laying stuff down this year, and we're wanting to move forward in him. But when we do that, we are not without an enemy that mounts up against us. It says the Philistines gathered to attack. The Philistines gathered and the people were frightened. See, when you go to making commitments to the Lord, sin is still at the door. The enemy is still at the door. And that can feel overwhelming to us. That can feel overwhelming to us. But look at what happened in the story. The enemy rose up to defeat them. They were frightened because they knew they weren't enough. They knew they were about to get whipped. Just them by themselves, I can't stand against that. I've already lost too many times. Samuel pleaded with God to help us, to deliver us. Samuel, pray for us. And it says, Samuel took a lamb for sacrifice. As the enemy arrived to attack, He offered a lamb as a sacrifice to God for the sins of the people. Because there is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood, and that's what the sacrificial system was to teach us. And he sacrificed a lamb. And then God thundered from heaven and scattered the enemy. And the same ones who were frightened, who said, "We can't beat them, we're about to die," rose up and won the battle. The same ones who knew that if they stood alone would be defeated, God thundered from heaven and not only pushed back the enemy, but encouraged his people. And they rose up and they overcame what they thought was insurmountable. Now tell me that's not Jesus. Tell me that's not Jesus. Because when I go to making commitments to the Lord this year, sin and shame are coming right after me. Temptation is coming for me. Temptation is coming for you. The shame of you can't follow him in that. You can't pursue him in that. Look at where you came from. Look at what you've done. Look at who you are. But listen, a lamb was slain for you. Jesus came down the bank of the River Jordan, and John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So the sin and the temptation and the shame that you couldn't overcome, he was slain to cover that. And heaven thunders and says, "No, mine, you can't get back." And it stirs up courage in me because I'm not by myself. And what I thought I couldn't defeat, I can look in the eye and say, "You don't have power over me anymore. Because a lamb has been slain." The word says that he was the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. It says that we overcome the enemy by the blood of the lamb and the word of our testimony. So when you get that commitment ready this year, because God's going to put things on your heart. He's going to deal with you in some areas. He's going to ask you to lay some things down for him and to pick some things up for him. Remember, don't be overwhelmed. You don't have to do it alone. You don't have to say no to those things alone. You don't have to say yes to these things that he's put in front of you alone. Hitherto, the Lord has helped us. And he's helped us far more than he had yet to help them. Because when Jesus gave his life for you, heaven thundered and he said, "It is finished." Meaning you don't have to be defeated by this anymore. Amen. Hitherto, the Lord has helped us. Don't shrink back. Don't shrink back. Don't be afraid. Don't be overwhelmed. You don't have to be perfect this year, but take a step. Take a step. And ask him, "Lord, give me my direction. Show me how to do it." And keep coming, because we're going to walk it out together. It's going to be a good year. Amen. Stand up with me. Let's get ready to pray. As we get done today, we've got a little bit of time left. If you need prayer for anything, I'll be here after service. Kelly will be up here too. Again, don't be overwhelmed by the big thoughts, because you have a bigger God. Don't be overwhelmed by the big commitments. You have a bigger God. Father in heaven, I thank you that when we were afraid, when we were subject to be defeated by sin and death and hell and the grave, and shame, a lamb was slain to pay for our victory. God, you won the victory for us. And we can look back and say, "Hitherto, the Lord has helped me. He has brought me safely to this point." Not without incident, but safely to this point. And Father, we can trust you to lead us all the way home. Forgive us of our sin. Forgive us of our error. Forgive us for not pursuing you with the heart that we should have. And God, stir it up in us beginning today. I thank you that you open our eyes to things that are holding us back so that we can set those weights aside and that we can run with endurance the race that you've set before us this year, even if it's just one step. Even if it's just one step, we want to be closer to you this year. I thank you that you've made yourself available to us. You've not hidden from us. You've given us Jesus Christ as our door to stand in the grace that you've made available. And we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. That we don't have to be overwhelmed, we can look to you. We don't have to be afraid, we can look to you. You've not expected us to be perfect this year, and you've not expected us to walk alone. Lord, strengthen us as we take this first step. Strengthen us as we take this first step into 2020 and be Lord and God and King over all of it. God, as we get ready to go today, I thank you that we go in peace and unity together with one another. God, for those that are traveling out from among us today, I thank you that you protect them and keep them safe. Bring them safely back to us. And Lord, as we go into this week, we've given you the first fruits of this week. I thank you, Lord God, that we're going to receive from you what we need to get this week started. A better view of you and a better view of ourselves. And I thank you, Lord God, that as we seek you, we'll find you. And that you'll begin to lead us and direct us and guide us into the path that you have for us. A good and right path that you're going to strengthen us as we walk. God, we love you. And we thank you for giving us the body of Christ to stand shoulder to shoulder with as we go into this year to glorify you, to lift you up, and to make your name known in our community. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.